الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. The tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 180. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين فمن بدله بعدما سمعه فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلونه إن الله سميع عليم فمن خاف من موص جنفا أو إثما فأصلح بينهم فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم. Someone kindly read the interpretation of the meaning in English, please. 180 to 182.
It is prescribed for you when death approaches you, any of you, if it is well, that he make a breakfast to parents and next of kin, according to reasonable manners. This is a duty upon a Muslim. Then whoever changes the breakfast after hearing it, the sin shall be on those who make the change. Truly Allah is all fear, all power. But he who fears from a dictator some unjust act or wrongdoing, and thereupon he makes peace between the parties concerned, there shall be no sin on him. Certainly Allah is all for giving him most mercy.
أحسن الله إليك. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى, أي فرض الله عليكم يا معشر المؤمنين, إذا حضر أحدكم الموت, أي أسبابه كالمرض المشرف على الهلاك وحضور أسباب الهلاك. Meaning, Allah had made obligatory upon you, O company of the believers, if one of you is going to die, the Shaykh means, if death approaches one of you, meaning, if the illnesses that usually result in death start to appear. For example, and a classical example is cancer. May Allah protect all of us. Cancer is known as being, usually a permanent illness, except with some few exceptions to the rule, right? And it is, something that will eventually, kill someone. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ or إِلَّا مَنْ اسْتَثْنَى اللَّهُ, except whom Allah makes as an exception. However, when somebody gets that, he needs to be prepared. Or any other illnesses of this nature, or reasons for destruction have come around. وَكَانَ قَدْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا وَهُوَ الْمَالُ الْكَثِيرُ عُرْفًا, and he has some wealth. And خَيْرًا is abundance of wealth, as it is understood, عُرْفًا meaning according to the common people. فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُوصِيَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ, then he must do the wasiyya to his walidayh, his parents. Remember we said, although walid is male, it is used in the sense because of the most common usage of the word, even though it is ab and right? Walid and walida. وَأَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ, and the nearest of kin to him. بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, according to what is reasonable. عَلَى قَدْرِ حَالِهِ, according to his ability. مِنْ غَيْرِ سَرْفٍ, without extravagance. وَلَا اِقْتِصَارٍ عَلَى الْأَبْعَدُ دُونَ الْأَقْرَبِ, and without favoring one who is far over one who is near. بَلْ يُرَتِّبُهُمْ عَلَى الْقُرْبِ وَالْحَاجَةِ, rather he organizes his affairs according to those nearest to him and those with the most need. So then what is to be taken into consideration is how close they are relatives and what are their needs. وَلِهَذَا أَتَى فِيهِ بِأَفْعَلِ التَّفْضِيلِ, and this is why the word used here is التفضيل is that of comparison. You say أكبر bigger, أصغر smaller, and so on and so forth. نعم. وَقَوْلُهُ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ دَلَّ عَلَى وُجُوبِ ذَلِكَ, it's a right upon the buttaqeen, meaning it's a compulsory upon them. It is wajib upon them. لِأَنَّ الْحَقُّ هُوَ الثَّابِتُ, because the haqq is that which is firm and established. وَقَدْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ مُوجِبَاتِ التَّقْوَى, Allah Azza wa Jalla had made it among that which necessitates taqwa, yani a byproduct or a consequence of taqwa, is that you will fulfill this wasiyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made in this particular ayah. Now, here comes the point.
وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ جُمْهُورَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ يَرَوْنَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ مَنْسُوخَةً بِآيَةِ الْمَوَارِيثِ.
The Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says, know that this particular ayah, according to the Jumhur, what does Jumhur mean?
Majority.
Actually, there's a linguistic meaning and there's a legal technical meaning. Linguistic meaning, Jumhur is the audience. So when one of these losers or singers get on stage and they sing, the people there, the spectators or whatever you call them, they call Jumhur. Jumhur, linguistically. Legally, Jumhur meaning the majority of the scholars. Jumhur al-ulama meaning the majority. Meaning there were only few exceptions. Most of them felt, you know, that the correct ruling was the following. Right, or such and such, that would be called Jumhur al-Ulama. So when the Shaykh said Jumhur al-Mufassirin, meaning the majority of those who are involved in the interpretation of the Qur'an and Tafsir, they are of the opinion that this ayah has been abrogated by the ayah of Mawarith, the one that is in Surah An-Nisa, where Allah Azza wa Jal detailed in great detail who is supposed to get what. You know, in the case of the death of the man, his wife will get this, his children will get that, his parents will get that. It's all been detailed in Surah An-Nisa. Mansukha. What does mansukha mean, I said?
Abrogated.
What is an abrogation? Huh?
Abrogation is a rule bypasses overrides the
good. Yeah, the second word is better than the first, because bypasses is going by it. It overwrites it, right, in such a way where it makes it void. It invalidates it. Okay, it loses its validity. The ruling, the previous ruling, with a new ruling comes, which abrogates or invalidates the previous ruling. Well, it's basically Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah's wisdom, whereby revelation and rulings were made according to the needs of the Muslims. So when at some point in time that ruling was befitting, and then later on it wasn't, Allah would abrogate the previous ruling with a new one, like alcohol. In the beginning, alcohol was allowed. People were just not allowed to approach Salah while intoxicated. Because the condition of the Muslims was of such that they have been drunkards. They were alcoholics. They cannot suddenly leave alcohol. Many people will fall into sin. And the community would not be sound because of that discrepancy between the people who didn't drink alcohol in the Jahiliyyah and those who did. It's not easy to give it up over day, right, or overnight. Because of that, time was given for the iman of the Sahaba to grow, until it reached a point where they were ready for anything from Allah. So when the ruling of, when the ayah was revealed, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مِنْ مُنْتَهُونَ, in Surah An-Nahl, I believe, where Allah Azza wa Jal, He forbade the consumption of alcohol. The Sahaba, some of which were drinking alcohol at the very moment when the ayah was quoted to them, did not even finish the cup that they had in their hand. When the ruling came to them and the ayah was given to them, they spilled it on the ground. And then they went to their jars, huge jars of alcohol, and they broke them all up. And then they say that Medina had rivers of wine in Medina, because of so much wine that was given up for the sake of Allah. So that is one classical example of nasakh, abrogation. Where the ruling was a particular ruling in the beginning, then that changed. Now this abrogation does not happen in everything. This is usually concerning rulings of halal and haram. Things dealing with prophecies or aqidah, these are not applicable. Abrogation is not applicable. Meaning, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal will not be commanding all of their messengers to be called into the worship of one God, and then when Jesus comes, it's three gods now. That doesn't work. That kind of abrogation doesn't work. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ telling one of his companions, you are among the people of Jannah, that cannot be abrogated.
Okay, that's from the unseen. That's news from the unseen. So this is just general information, so you will know what that means. And that is important to know. In case you're dealing with a non-Muslim who knows, has some background, and he tells you, hey, you know, what's up with this Quran? You know, this ayah, you said there's no contradiction in this and so on, then you need to be knowing what you're saying. Say, listen, man, we know this already. You're not telling me anything. No, rather, let me explain it to you. Such and such and such and such. This is the wisdom of Allah. This is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen is not, you know, like, you know, lame. It's dynamic. It interacts with the people's needs and necessities and so on and so forth. So this is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not what they're trying to claim. Jameel. Now, وَبَعْضُهُمْ يَرَى أَنَّهَا فِي الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ غَيْرَ الْوَالِدِينَ. Whereas other of the ulama, besides the jumhur, they believe that this ayah is particular to the parents and the closest relatives and in excluding other among the inheritors or the heirs. مَعَنَّهُ لَمْ يَدُلُّ عَلَى التَّخْصِيصِ بِذَلِكَ دَلِيلٍ. Even though there's no such specification, the Shaykh says, according to any textual evidences. والأحسن في هذا أن يقال إن هذه الوصية للوالدين والأقربين مجملة ردها الله تعالى إلى العرف الجاري. The best thing that we can say concerning that is that this particular wasiyah for the parents and the closest is comprehensive and general, which Allah has referred to the common practice among the people. ثم إن الله تعالى قدر الوالدين والوالدين وغيرهما من الأقارب الوالدين هذا المعروف في آيات المواريد. Then Allah Azza wa Jal in details explained what each one among the inheritors will receive among the parents and the closest relatives in the famous ayah, ayat in Surah An-Nisa, which is known the ayat of al-mawarid, the ayat of the inheritors. بعد أن كان مجملا, after it was general. So this is similar to general ruling that was then specified in Surah An-Nisa in details, right? So that's a very good approach to Shaykh Khad Rahmatullahi Alayhi. وبقي الحكم في من لم يرث من الوالدين الممنوعين من الإرث وغيرهما ممن حجب بشخص أو وصف. Then what remains is the ruling concerning those who did not receive any inheritance from the parents who are deprived of the wealth, and others who have been deprived or blocked because of a person or description. And this is very technical, which I'm not even going to try to explain because I myself will have a hard time doing so. However, if we all remain alive and we read Surah An-Nisa inshallah, and we will read the tafsir of the Shaykh, very, very technical. Very, very technical in terms of inheritance. Yani if someone dies, who will receive? And there are times where this is the usual standard, but because of the existence of one particular family member, it will change the whole ratio of who gets what. Yani very, very detailed, and this is ilm on its own. It's called ilm al-fara'id. And it is very, yani very, very sophisticated. Not that many ulama, actually, in terms of the ulama, not that many are able, you know, are well-versed in this science. It's a science of its own, and you know, Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah had written a particular book on this very science, and if you read it, you'll get some idea of how complicated it is. Now, that's why we need the ulama. Because if we didn't have ulama, if we didn't have scholars, then me and you would be, you know, selling vegetables down the street. Because we would not know many times, you know, we probably would have read this ayah and not know that it was abrogated. And so we go out there saying, trying to let's implement this ayah, for example, and the ayah has been abrogated. You know, so this is very important. And they're referring back to the people of knowledge, so we may be upon guidance, bidnillahi azza wa jal. Hasanan idan. Now, فإن الإنسان مأمور بالوصية لهؤلاء وهم أحق الناس ببره. A person is commanded to do the wasiyah for those individuals, and they have the most right. They have the most right to receive, you know, his goodness and his righteousness. وهذا القول تتفق عليه الأمة. And this statement the whole Ummah agrees about. There's a unanimous agreement concerning that. A consensus. Now. ويحصل به الجمع بين القولين المتقدمين. And we're able to bring a relation between the two previous statements. The ayah here and the ayah in Surah, the ayat in Surah An-Nisa dealing with the inheritance. لأن كل من القائلين بهما كل منهم لحظ ملحظا واختلف المورد. Because the ulama who tried to interpret these ayat, each one of them, he noticed something particular. He was attracted to some aspect of that particular ayah, even though the reference or the source is the same. فبهذا الجمع يحصل اتفاق والجمع بين الآيات. With that we're able to bring a relation combined between the understanding and the rulings. فإنه مهما أمكن الجمع كان أحسن من ادعاء النسل الذي لم يدل عليه دليل صحيح. So the Shaykh said, whenever we're able to bring a relation and combine between more than one understanding of the deen, this is far better than claiming abrogation without any evidence that suggests that. So basically the Shaykh is of the opinion that it is not abrogated. It is not abrogated because he's saying there's no dalil which indicates abrogation. Rather, he said that was a general advice which was specified in another ayah. And so as long as we're able to do so, combine the rulings whereby we don't claim that they are contradictions, then this is far better than saying that this rule abrogates the previous rule. Is that clear? So this is the approach of the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi. ولما كان الموصي قد يمتنع من الوصية لما يتوهمه أن من بعده قد يبدل ما وصى به قال تعالى فمن بدله أي الإيصاء للمذكورين أو غيرهم بعدما سمعه أي بعدما عقله وعرف طرقه وتنفيذه فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلونه فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلونه. نعم. The Sheikh said now when the one given that wasiyah may refrain from doing so because he is afraid that those who will listen to him may change it. Yeah, and you say, I want to leave, you know, this for that person and so on and so forth, and you get some funny guy, you know, around you, and when you die, he changes everything. He says, well, he said that this car should be given to this person, maybe he's his friend, right? Something along these lines. The Shaykh said, when some people will be refrain from giving the wasiyah because they're afraid that people will not carry it out, then Allah says, so whoever changes that, meaning those who change the wasiyah, whether those relatives or otherwise, after they had heard it, meaning they understood it and they knew the way of execution, then really the sin is upon those who change, not the dead person. He has done his job in terms of giving the wasiyah. What happens afterward, he is not held accountable for. Rather, it is the one who does the changing. وَأَلَّفَ الْمُوصِي وَقَعَ أَجْرَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The one who gave that wasiyah, his reward has been guaranteed by Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنَّمَا الْإِثْمُ عَلَى الْمُبَدِّلِ الْمُغَيِّرِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُورُ فِي وَصِيَّتِهِ. Rather, عَفْوًا عَلَى الْبَدِّلِ الْمُغَيِّرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعًا. So the sin is the one who changes. The one who changes and he alters that wasiyah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعًا. Verily Allah is all hearing or all hearer. يَسْمَعُ سَائِرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ. He hears all sounds. وَمِنْهُ سَمَاعَهُ لِمَقَالَةِ الْمُوصِي وَوَصِيَّتَهُ. Including him hearing the one given the wasiyah and the wasiyah itself. فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يُرَاقِبَ مَنْ يَسْمَعُهُ وَيَرَاهُ. So it is upon him to be mindful and watchful of the one who hears him and please don't click the pen. Allah musta'an. And the one who hears him and the one who sees him. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُورُ فِي وَصِيَتِهِ. And that he does not transgress in this wasiyah by violating some of the rulings that Allah Azza wa Jal had made as limitations. عَلِيم. All knowing. بِنِيَتِهِ وَعَلِيمٌ بِالْعَمَلِ الْمُوصَى إِلَيْهِ. He knows the intention of the one given the wasiyah and the action of the one who has received the wasiyah. فَإِذَا اشْتَهَدَ الْمُوصِي وَعِلِمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ نِيَتِهِ ذَلِكَ أَثَابَهُ وَلَوْ أَخْطَأَ. So if the person given the wasiyah is strives and he... So if the person given the wasiyah exerts himself and Allah sees from his niyyah sincerity in him doing that and he makes a mistake, Allah will reward him even if he made a mistake because his niyyah was sound. وَبِهِ التَّحْذِيرُ لِلْمُوصَى إِلَيْهِ مِنَ التَّبْدِيلِ. And simultaneously, the one who receives the wasiyah has been threatened in this particular ayah from changing what the musi, what the one given the wasiyah had made. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِهِ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَى مَا فَعَلَهُ فَلْيَحْذَرْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is knowing of him, seeing him, so let him be careful and let him be cautious of Allah. هَذَا حُكْمُ الْوَصِيَّةِ الْعَادِيَةِ. This is the ruling of the just wasiyah. وأما الوصية التي فيها حيف وجنف وإثم فينبغي لمن حضر الموصي وقت الوصية بها أن ينصحه بما هو الأحسن والأعدل. As for the wasiyah that entails transgression, injustice, deviation, then it is upon those who are present at the time to advise the one given the wasiyah with that which is best and more just. وَأَنْ يَنْهَاهُ عَنِ الْجُورِ وَالْجَنَبِ, and that he prevents him from transgression and oppression. وَهُوَ الْمَيْلُ بِهَا عَنْ خَطَأٍ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَعَمُّدٍ, and it is deviating, you know, from the truth into error without an intention. وَالْإِثْمُ هُوَ التَّعَمُّدُ لِذَلِكَ, but sinfulness is when one intends it. So al-janab is to go away from the truth without an intention to do so, and no sin on that person. But the janab where a person deliberately goes away from the path, then this person is sinful for that choice of his. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يُصْلِحْ بَيْنَ الْمُوصَى إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَتَوَصَّلْ إِلَى الْعَدْلِ بَيْنَهُمْ عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّرَاضِي وَالْمُصَالَحَةِ وَوَعْضِهِمْ بِتَبْرِئَةِ ذِمَّةِ مَيِّتِهِمْ. If he's unable to do so, he advises the dying person and he does not want to respond to that advice. Okay? Then it is upon him, this person, to try to reconcile between those who have received this wasiyah in such a way and try to deal with justice as much as possible between them, and try to reconcile between them in order and admonish them so the person who died will not be held accountable for the consequences. Because if the wasiyah that was wrong, that included transgression, is acted upon, then the dead person will receive the sin of everything that is done consequently. Everything that happens as a result of that, he will have a share of the sin. Whereas, if they were to reconcile between each other and bring justice, then he's only sinful for the wrong wasiyah. But the actual implementation is not there. So he cannot be held accountable for that, walhamdulillah. Now, فَهَذَا قَدْ فَعَلَ مَعْرُوفًا عَظِيمًا, whoever does that has done a great good reward, good deed. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ إِثْمٌ, and there is no sin against him. كَمَا عَلَى مُبَدِّ الْوَصِيَّةِ الْجَائِرَةِ, like the one who deliberately changes it. وَلِيَذَا قَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ, that's why Allah says, verily Allah is all forgiving. وَعَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, أَنْ يَغْفِرُ جَمِيعَ الزَّلَّاتِ وَيَصْفَعُ عَنِ التَّبِعَاتِ لِمَنْ تَابَ إِلَيْهِ, meaning he forgives all shortcomings and he pardons all sins for those who turn in repentance to him. وَمِنْهُ مَغْفِرَتُهُ لِمَنْ غَضَّ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ, and included in that is forgiving the one who, I don't know what that means, غَضَّ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. وَتَرَكَ بَعْضَ حَقَّهُ لِأَخِيهِ لِأَنَّهُ مَنْ سَامَحَهُ سَامَحَهُ اللَّهُ. Oh, okay. The one who basically favors his brother over himself, and he gives something for his brother as means of forgiveness, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive him in return. غَفُورٌ لِمَيِّتِهِمِ الْجَائِرِ فِي وَصِيَّتِهِ إِذَا احْتَسَبُوا بِمُسَامَحَةِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا لِأَجْلِ بَرَاءَةِ ذُمَّتِهِ. And Allah will forgive the dead person who was wrong in his wasiyah if those who remain behind agree to forgive one another in order to free him from the responsibility of that oppressive wasiyah. رَحِيمٌ بِعِبَادِهِ, merciful to his slaves, حَيْثُ شَرَعَ لَهُمْ كُلَّ أَمْرٍ بِهِ يَتَرَاحَمُونَ وَيَتَعَاطَفُونَ, wherein he legislated for them every affair by which they are merciful to one another and kind to one another. فدلت هذه الآية على الحد على الوصية. So this ayah includes or suggests, you know, encouragement in doing the wasiya. وعلى بيان من هي له, and mentioning upon who it is. It's upon the muttaqin. وعلى وعيد المبدل, and the threat that Allah gave the one who changes the wasiya of the person who gave the wasiya. للوصية العادلة والترغيب في الإصلاح, and advising the best for people to reconcile and keep the hearts united. في الوصية الجائرة, in the wasiya that was overboard. And so that ends this ayah, and we can begin inshaAllah ta'ala the following ayah. We just missed it, ولكن الحمد لله على كل حال. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. اللهم استعان. We will see what happened to us today. أياما معدودات, فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى, وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين, فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له, وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان, فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. نعم. Why don't we read that? Someone please. Verses 183
till 185. For you who believe, observing a sort of fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become a little poor. Observing some fast for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can fast with difficulty, example an old man, they have a choice either to fast for to feed a skinny poor person for every day. But whoever does good for his own effort, it is better for him, and that will fast is better for you if only you know it.
Yes, sir.
The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proof for guidance and criteria between right and wrong. So whoever of you cites the passage on first night of the month of Ramadan, i.e. is present at his home, he must observe some fast that month. And whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days which one did not observe fast must be made up for other days. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days, and that you must magnify Allah, i.e. to say that fear Allah, whatever Allah is most great for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him.
Barakallah fiqh. يخبر تعالى بما من الله به على عباده بأنه فرض عليهم الصيام كما فرضه على الأمم السابقة لأنه من الشرائع والأوامر التي هي مصلحة للخلق في كل زمان. The Shaykh said, Allah informs us what He had bestowed upon His slaves concerning the obligation or Him making obligatory upon them fasting, the act of fasting, which was prescribed upon the nations before, due to the fact that this is among the rulings and among the commandments which ever contained benefit for the creation. That is not restricted to any time. Fasting is ever good from the time of Adam until the day of judgment. وَفِيهِ تَنْشِيطٌ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِأَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَنْ تُنَافِسُوا غَيْرَكُمْ فِي تَكْمِيلِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْمُسَارَعَةِ إِلَى صَالِحِ الْقِصَارِ. Also, there's encouragement for this ummah that we should strive and compete with others in hastening to do the good deeds and acquiring the good qualities. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الثَّقِيلَ الَّتِي اقْتَصَيْتُمْ بِهَا. And this is not among the difficult obligations that you were, يعني, that were restricted to you. And it's not something that only the Muslims had to do it. Even previous nations, fasting was prescribed upon them as well. ثم ذكر تعالى حكمته في مشروعية الصيام. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the wisdom behind the act, behind the legality of fasting. فقال لعلكم تتقون. Perhaps, or in different interpretations, some of them say perhaps you may attain taqwa, or so that you may attain taqwa. One is explaining the literal meaning of the word, and the other one is explaining what is understood of the word. Perhaps is the literal meaning. لعلك, لعلكم, that's what it means. But we understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not make someone do acts of worship that would bring about taqwa, and then not give them to them, because perhaps contains probability. And so that's what, so that you may. Then they interpret according to the meaning, meaning you will attain taqwa. So whichever one uses, fine. One is more linguistically relevant, and the other one is more according to the meaning and the understanding of the ayah. على كل حال فإن الصيام من أكبر أسباب التقوى. Fasting is among the greatest reasons that one attains taqwa by. نعم لأن فيه امتثال أمر الله واجتناب نهيه. Because it includes fulfilling the commandment of Allah and avoiding His prohibition. فمما اشتمل عليه من التقوى أن الصائم يترك ما حرم الله عليه من الأكل والشرب والجماع. Among the things that includes, يعني that brings about taqwa, is that the fasting person abandons what Allah has made forbidden upon him from food and drink and sexual relations with his spouses, of course. ونحوهما التي تميل إليها نفسه, and other things that the soul desires. متقربا بذلك إلى الله, and he seeks nearness to Allah by doing that. راجيا بتركها ثوابه, hoping by abandoning these things to attain Allah's reward. فهذا من التقوى, this is taqwa inevitably, that you leave alone something and you do something else for the sake of Allah, this is taqwa. ومنها أن الصائم يدرب نفسه على مراقبة الله تعالى. Also, the fasting person trains himself to be mindful of Allah عز وجل. فيترك ما تهوى نفسه مع قدرته عليه لعلمه باطلاع الله عليه. So he abandons that which his soul desires, even though he's able to attain it, because he knows that Allah عز وجل is watching him. ومنها أن الصيام يضيق مجاري الشيطان. فإنه يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم. Thirdly, fasting tightens the مجاري الشيطان, the circulation of the shaitan in one's veins, because the Prophet ﷺ said that the shaitan runs in you like blood in your veins. So that tightens that, the shaitan will not be able to do so as much. فبالصيام يضعف نفوذه وتقل منه المعاصي. So that's why you find while fasting, the shaitan does not have such an effect on us. Furthermore, the sins are committed less. We commit less sins, we commit less sins. Right or wrong, did you not feel the very next day from the day of Eid, it wasn't the same anymore? From the morning of Eid, it wasn't the same anymore. And then the very next Salah wasn't the same anymore. Isha was not the same as the Isha before. It's amazing. And if you're a new Muslim, I don't know if there's any new Muslims here, you will see that, you will feel that more than, you know, others. There's this strange feeling that one gets in Ramadan that is just unexplainable, subhanAllah. So this is يعني, from the mercy of Allah to the Ummah of the Muslims. وَمِنَا أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ فِي الْغَالِبِ تَكْثُرُ طَاعَتُهُ. And also, usually, the fasting person will increase in doing good deeds. وَالطَّاعَةُ مِنْ خِصَالِ التَّقْوَى. Obedience and deeds are an example or an example of taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. ومنها أن الغني إذا ذاق ألم الجوع أوجب له ذلك مواساة الفقراء المعدمين. عليكم السلام. Similarly, if the rich person tastes the pain of hunger, then this will force him in a sense to want to be kind to those who are poor and needy, those who are less fortunate. وهذا من خصال التقوى, and this is also among the qualities of taqwa. So these are all things that happen as a consequence of fasting, and all of them will bring about the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, 184. ولما ذكر أنه فرض عليهم الصيام أخبر أنه أياما معدودات أي قليلة في غاية السهولة. After Allah told us that it is compulsory of obligatory upon us to fast, He told us that it is a counted or number of days. It's a fixed number of days that is very easy. It's very easy. 30 days, 29 days maximum is nothing compared to a whole year. Imagine if you had to fast a whole year. Or Dawood alayhi salatu salam. How did Dawood fast?
Day after day.
One day on, one day off, right? Every other day. Every other day. Subhanallah. Ajeeb. ثم سهل تسهيلنا. Then Allah made things even easier. فقال فمن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. Whoever is ill or traveling, then another number of days are to be fasted to make up for those that he missed in Ramadan. وذلك للمشقة في الغالب رخص الله لهما في الفطر. And the reason why, because it entails difficulty. Being sick, it depends on the kind of sickness. Not if you just have a, you know, if you have a runny nose, then this doesn't work. If you're sick in such a way where you need nutrition, you need to eat, you need to drink, the doctor has prescribed some medicine which you must take. In this case, then, you know, this, if you fast, it's difficult upon the body, and you're not allowed to do that. It may be haram for you to fast in these cases. So if someone is sick, then they are allowed not to fast. Similarly with travel, especially back then. You know, they were not riding any airplanes or any Airbuses. They were on a camel, a horse, or the likes, maybe a donkey, going from a long distance. So fasting would be almost impossible for these individuals. ولما كان لا بد من حصول مصلحة الصيام لكل مؤمن أمرهما أن يقضيا في أيام أخرى. Because it is inevitable that every believer is in need of the benefit of fasting, Allah commanded them to make them up with other number of days, to make them up some other time. If they're not able to do them during month of Ramadan, then you make up the days you missed later, as long as you get that benefit of fasting. إذا زال المرض وانقضى السفر, when the illness is gone and the travel has been concluded, وحصلت الراحة, and now comfort and ease is available. وفي قوله فعدة من أيام فيه دليل على أنه يقضي عدد أيام رمضان كاملا كان أو ناقصا, وعلى أنه يجوز أن يقضي أياما قصيرة باردة عن أيام طويلة حارة كالعكس. And is an evidence in the statement of Allah that an equal number of days, that a person is expected to make up the days, whether the month is 30 or 29. So if it's 30 days and he missed all 30, then he fasts 30 days. And if it's 29, he fasts 29, because it's an equal number of days. They must be equal, depending on Ramadan. 29 days, and let's say you missed the whole month, then you make up 29 days. Similarly, one is able to fast to make up days which are when the day is short and cold, to make up for days that are long and hot. Ma'alish. Yani if, let's say, Ramadan was in summer and the day was longer, much longer, right? Then the time comes, where a person may make them up in winter, where the number of hours fasted are much lesser than those in Ramadan. So for example, you may fast in, I don't know how many hours, let's say Fajr comes in at 6 in the morning, for example, and Maghrib comes in at 4:30 or 5 o'clock. Whereas now, what time were we having Suhoor? 3:30, 4 o'clock, something, very late. And Maghrib was coming in around almost 7 o'clock, something along these lines, 6 something. So then, it's fine if the days are not equal in length. Longer days, shorter days, it doesn't matter, as long as you make up the number of days. وقوله وعلى الذين يطيقون أي يطيقون الصيام, and upon those who are able to fast, فدية عن كل يوم يفطرونه طعام مسكين, to expiation, to pay out an expiation which is feeding a poor person for every day that they do not fast. وهذا في ابتداء فرض الصيام, this was in the beginning. Again, we have an abrogation here. And according to some of the ulama, or even the sahaba, it's not an abrogation. They made another specification for the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman and the elderly. However, the most common ruling is that it's abrogated. In the beginning, Muslims were given a choice. If they wanted to fast, if they're able to fast, but they don't fast, then they feed a poor person. Follow me? Whereas the one who couldn't fast, then because of travel or illness, then they make up the days. Then this was in the beginning. وهذا في ابتداء فرض الصيام لما كانوا غير معتادين للصيام. They were not used to fasting in this fashion. وكان فرضه حتما فيه مشقة. And making it compulsory upon everyone would definitely contain or difficulty عليهم. درجهم الرب الحكيم بأسهل طريق. Then Allah عز وجل through His wisdom, He made it gradual. Gradually they went from getting used to fasting and being given a choice, and then afterwards it was concluded. وخير المطيق للصوم بين أن يصوم وهو أفضل أو يطعم. And he gave a choice for the one who's able to fast, between fasting, which is better, or feeding a poor person. ولهذا قال وأن تصوموا خيرا لكم. And that's why he said, if you fast, it is better for you. ثم بعد ذلك جعل الصيام حتما على المطيق. Then afterwards, in the very next ayah, Allah made fasting compulsory, definitely upon the one who's able to do so. وغير مطيق يفطر ويقضيه في أيام أخرى. The one who's unable, then he breaks his fast and he makes it up afterwards. وقيل وعلى الذين يطيقون أي يتكلفون ويشق عليهم مشقة غير محتملة كشيخ الكبير فدية عن كل يوم مسكين وهذا هو الصحيح. And it was also said that what is intended by يطيقون, meaning those who are able to afford it, but it is very difficult, such as the old person, the very old, the elderly. then they are to pay fidya and feed a person, a poor person, for every day they break the fast. And this is the correct opinion. So again, the Shaykh was of the ruling, of the opinion that we can bring the relation between the previous ruling and the later one, where the first one is more applicable to the elderly, those who are able but they have difficulty, then they were given that choice for feeding. You see, so anyways, the ulama have a different approach when it comes to these issues. You know what, I think we will leave Shahr Ramadan, not for next Ramadan, inshallah, but for next week. We will deal with the ayah which deals with Shahr Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was revealed, هدى للناس, and the end of the ayah. وبهذا نختم هذه الجلسة. نسأل الله يعفو عما صدر منا من خطأ وزلل وأن يتوب علينا جميعا. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك.